You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jones, Bowden, he's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match!
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket, our look back at the third LV Insurance Test match, which ended much sooner than we were expecting. Who'd be a predictor in this business? Who'd be a prophet? It's a nightmare. We said probably it would go all day to the end of the fourth day, and it was all over before lunch. It was all over by the shouting in the first 45 minutes when a few wickets fell for India. England, absolutely supreme today. Brilliant bowling, fielding, even bowling changes work. Moeen Ali, second ball through the gate. I mean, it's just the performance of Joe Root's dreams.
Absolutely. I mean, when we looked at the scenarios yesterday, what we thought might happen in the rest of the test match, I think an Indian collapse and losing well before lunch on the fourth day, we didn't include that at all, because I don't think anyone considered it. We did think the new ball would be crucial, and it proved to be so. I think we both felt that the most likely outcome was probably India getting up around England's total runs in the match, and England might have to knock off a few to win the game. That seemed the most likely. But as soon as they got Pujara, that to me, that was, I know Kohli's wicket was important as well, but when they got that early wicket, they needed that early wicket with the new ball, and it was Pujara, and he didn't play a shot, and England overturned an umpire's not out, which is always a good feeling, isn't it? When the umpire says not out and you overturn it, and you've got that big hunch that, yeah, I think this is out. It just lifts you. Early wicket with the new ball, and England were on their way. And then once Kohli was out, it did feel a matter of time. I suppose the thought did cross my mind, you know, if Rishabh Pant played a bit like Ian Botham in 1981, then India might have a chance. But actually, Pant has not really produced so far in this series. He's flickered at times. But at number six, perhaps he's just looked a bit too vulnerable in England with the ball moving around. Have India got their batting lineup right, their team selection right, Yoz?
Well, I think they need a bit more batting. I mean, it sounds a sort of very obvious thing to say, but, you know, 78 all out first innings, 270 all out second innings. They just feel light, a batsman light, and so much pressure on that middle order. There's likely to be an early wicket. You know, you always lose early wickets in England, in English conditions, provided, you know, the conditions are helpful to the bowlers. So that puts a lot of pressure on 3, 4, 5. And if there's number six struggling, Pant, not really his kind of style of conditions, and he hasn't really got a good record in England generally. The last trip he made here, he didn't make many either. And you sort of feel after that, Jadeja, you know, is a bit hit and miss. And then there's four bowlers. And we have said that all along. It just feels a bit lightweight. And it puts pressure on the middle order for the batsmen. And it's a very big morale boost to the England bowlers. They know they get them five down. It's not far away to the end. And so it proved today. I know there was that one hiccup at Lord's on that final day where that tail, the Indian tail wag, but that feels like the exception that proves the rule.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I was there that day, and we talked a lot about England's tactics, and you know, if they bowled to the Indian lower order at Lord's like they bowled to them in this Test match, England might well have been chasing about 190 to win the game, and who knows what might have happened on that final day. I know they didn't get many in their second innings, but again, it's the psychology of the game, and I think it was the psychology of the game today. Once those two wickets went down, then it's very, very difficult for India to you know, some of that sort of mental energy to keep on fighting from there. And the other thing as well, England had the new ball, and they've got some very good bowlers in those conditions. You think about obviously Jimmy Anderson, but Ollie Robinson has come in. He's had a magnificent start to his Test match career with the ball. 23 wickets at 17. And I like Craig Overton as well. We talked about this yesterday with Steve Finn saying earlier in the season that, you know, everyone's talking about him on the county circuit as being the best bowler. And we talked yesterday about him, you know, running in with a bit more purpose. And he got his rewards in this game. And at last, Craig Overton has played in England Test match, a winning team after four defeats so far. He's finally off the mark in his fifth game with good match figures, 6 for 61. He can bat. He got some useful runs in the first innings. And also, he can catch as well. And that has been a big issue for England in that slip cordon, where they've dropped lots of catches. We saw in this game, I mean, Johnny Bairstow producing a brilliant catch at second slip. So it's amazing, isn't it? The downs and ups of this game. I don't think it's worth predicting the rest of this series. We can perhaps sort of, you know, give some pointers, but to say what's going to happen from here, it's pretty difficult to say. But you know, the ups and downs. You know, down 1 week, that felt like a really sort of debilitating final day at Lord's. And then suddenly, an innings and 76-run victory for England inside three and a half days.
It's amazing, isn't it? And it is all about how you start a match. You know, whatever happened before. So I think first thing to say really about the unpredictability of this series is don't win the toss, because Root won the toss at Lord's and put India in, and they were 160 for no wicket. I know 120 for no wicket, 160 for one or something, but they got a great start in helpful conditions. And then here, Kohli wins the toss, bats first, 78 all out. And, you know, there was a sort of element of the way England started this Test match, which reminded me actually a little bit of the Adelaide Test of 2011, when Anderson got those two early wickets and there was a run out, and Australia were two runs for three wickets early on. And you know, it's just a fantastic start to a Test match to get India in this case 21 for three. They never recovered from that because of their fragile middle order and lack of decent batting lower down. Obviously then England had to respond with the bat, and you know, the confidence of knowing that the opposition have bowled out for 78 is a massive one. Joe Root paid tribute to the opening stand this time, 120, is it, they put on for Hamid and Burns. So, you know, that was a massive boost to England. And really, from then on, you felt, and our Who's Winning graphic certainly underlined this, England had a 90% chance of winning, and it didn't take them that long to really cement. I mean, obviously yesterday was hard work, but today it didn't take them that long to show their superiority. And I think, in a way, I did say in yesterday's show that England bowled well yesterday and just didn't quite get the edges. They didn't quite get the luck. There was playing and missing and so on. Today, there was edges and there were superb catches. And England's catching, I think, in this Test match has been flawless. Bairstow has added a big ingredient at second slip. Root's pouched everything. And as you say, Craig Overton at third slip. But that's so important for bowlers' confidence. And, you know, that one chance nailed by the slip fielders can be just such a massive lift to a team. So, you know, all those sort of components, Milan coming in at number three as well, giving them a bit of experience, and coming in when the score's 120 rather than 20 as well, has just added England just look a better side. But again, it'll be how they started at the Oval.
Yeah, and that's the point, isn't it? You know, never get too down possibly when you've lost, and never get too high when you've won. Obviously celebrate a victory, But with that reality that India are a very good side, they came back in Australia. And, you know, Virat Kohli said it in the post-match interviews today as well. You know, England are a good side. So, you know, they are perfectly capable of bouncing back as they did in this game as well. You know, they've got some quality cricketers. And in this game, they looked as if they papered over a few of the cracks. I mean, the cracks being the top order. And that's what was one of the basis of their victory. Okay, they bowled really well. One of the basis of their victory was that opening stand that was 120 on the first night. They pushed it on into the second day as well. But you go to the Oval next week, you know, they could easily be 10 for 2 again. You know, that's what brings us back to the game. That's what fascinates us, beguiles us about Test cricket is the ups and downs. And for England, you know, one of their great victories to go alongside the one they pulled off in Chennai earlier this year. I think when we thought about today's play, we thought about the possibilities and that sort of sense of nervousness. Jimmy Anderson was sort of saying as well, you know, yeah, we were in for the long haul afterwards today. You know, he thought we have to go the whole day and, you know, we're a few nerves around. Could India pull off a miracle? The point is we remember games like 1981 and the Calcutta match where India came back against Australia and where Sri Lanka won it heading in 2014. We remember them, A, because they were special games of cricket, but because they are so rare, it's so difficult to do. And it was so difficult for India to do. You know, you've got to think of that scoreboard pressure that they were up against. So 1-1 and two matches to go. I think the other good thing as well is that it keeps interest going right to the end of the series. You know, whatever happens next week at the Oval, it will be settled at Old Trafford. You know, the series will still be alive in the fifth Test match, which is great, actually, for a five-match series.
Mm. Joe Root was deprived the man of the match in the end by the Sky commentators who gave it to Ollie Robinson. Fair enough. Robinson took 7 wickets in the match and got his 5 for today.
Yeah, I think it was a very clinical performance. I thought took advantage of the conditions on day one. I thought we bowled exceptionally well and it was almost a perfect storm. Everything seemed to fall our way. Just perfect little nicks to the keeper. It got us off to a great start. It was a brilliant bowling performance. Found the length very early on this wicket. I exploited it very well. And then that partnership to set things up, the opening partnership, I think was almost a turning point in the game for me. To have such a substantial first partnership was exceptional. And credit to those two lads. Now under the pump, off the back of last week, to come out and perform like that and get his 135 for none was brilliant. So it really set the game up, gave the opportunity for the rest of us to go and make that big first inning score that me and Silvers harp on to you guys about all of the time. You know, the hard work that we put in yesterday, I think we reaped our rewards today. We held the game really well. It was quite attritional, but going at, you know, around 2.5 and over, we knew that when that second new ball came round, we were going to create opportunities again. And credit to India, they played very well. They did. They made it very difficult for us. There was some really good batting yesterday in bowler-friendly conditions. But for us to be able to start as we did today, 3 maidens, build pressure again. And then, you know, we actually were clinical with our catching, which was a nice change as well. Took some good catches, good chances, and you know, sat here now 1-1 with a big smiley dressing room and two big games ahead of us. As I mentioned before the game, I'm living my boyhood dream. I'm captain in England, something that dreamt of doing from being really small. Got a great group of players who are very talented, dedicated to becoming better all of the time. And you know, as frustrating as the last little period has been for us, we have had to deal with some difficulties. We showed huge character to be able to come back and put in a performance like that off the back of the way last week turned out. So, well, the last game turned out. So, no, couldn't be more proud of them.
LV Insurance and the ECB's £1 million Fund for Runs campaign has awarded a grant to the Lancashire-based Bolton School Games project, which is targeting 20 schools in their community to promote participation and accessibility for students from low socioeconomic regions of the community. There'll be a particular focus from the club on involving and focusing members of the community from ethnic minorities. They've also identified girls and special schools as a priority, and so the Fund for Runs campaign funding will help the club to reintroduce both All-Stars and Dynamos amongst these schools, reaching hundreds of children. One of the key things that would have really pleased Root was the bowling in partnerships, which England really showed strongly today. And I'm thinking particularly of that Anderson Robinson effort in the morning. That Anderson didn't get the wickets early on, but he nearly did. He bowled that superb over to Kohli where he passed his edge, he wrapped him on the pads. There was then that caught behind, given and then referred and overturned because he'd hit his pad. And even Kohli thought he was out. He walked off. It's amazing, isn't it? You think batsmen know. I mean, lots of batsmen. Michael Vaughan's one, actually. Oh, you always know when you hit it. No, you don't. And that was a proof of it. Kohli did think he'd hit it. Rahane sort of suggested he had a review, and luckily for him, he did. He didn't last long. But what was interesting about that passage of play was that Anderson bowled that superb over, deserved the wicket of Kohli, didn't get it. Then Robinson bowled the next over and kept the pressure on Rahane. And towards the end of the over, we were all saying, try and keep Rahane on strike at your end so that Anderson can bowl at Kohli. And he did. He didn't sort of try anything too ambitious. He just plugged away on that sort of off-stump line. Rahane couldn't get off strike, not that he probably wanted to anyway. And then Anderson had Kohli in his sights again. Kohli actually, smart player that he is, got a single off the next ball from Anderson and got off strike. But I think the pressure told on Kohli, and in the end, he played at one from Robinson. He probably could have left. And actually, the Sky graphic, the Cork Eye graphic, showed that he played at a few today that he left in the first innings. And yesterday, he left a few, which today, the same line he played at. And it's that pressure, it's that intensity of bowling from both ends, no escape, that in the end causes the mistake. So Kohli gets out, and then soon after, Anderson gets his reward with Rahane. So, you know, that was just brilliant bowling in partnerships by Anderson and Robinson, showing no issue about Stuart Broad being away. And I think Robinson's, you know, grown hugely in stature every game he's played. He talked actually afterwards about the honour of playing with Jimmy Anderson, which is a nice way of putting it. But, you know, you learn so much as well about using the crease and building up pressure and you wobble seam, you know, the different deliveries that are suitable for certain situations, the way to get certain batsmen out. And, you know, it's interesting because I looked up his record, Robinson. He's never played a first-class match at Headingley. It's a difficult ground to bowl at. He's played a few, you know, List A games, T20s, that sort of thing. I think his record is 1 for 164 at Headingley in limited overs cricket. Never played a first-class game before this one. But he just looked so comfortable, and he made the ball talk, and he never left that really nagging line and length. Brilliant performance, and now 23 test wickets in, what, 5 games at an average of 17. Incredible.
How do you think he'll go in Australia? Has he got the pace or the fact that he's got that height? Do you think that will work for him?
Yeah. I think his height is definitely a big advantage. I mean, I had a bit of a text exchange with Shane Warne today. Actually, I was complimenting on him on his commentary. I said, you know, your commentary was really riveting this morning and interesting, and showed how he talked about game awareness and bowlers bowling in partnerships and so on. And I sent him a message saying, you know, it's such a relief to hear some really incisive commentary rather than the rubbish we've been listening to on the 100, you know, a few days ago. And Warne was very sort of, you know, thankful. And then I said, you know, is Robinson our Josh Hazlewood? And he said, well, yes, but he needs to keep his pace up. He needs to get fitter. It's because his pace drops during the day. And obviously on hot days in Australia, that's going to happen even more. So fitness is going to be at a premium, but no doubt about his skill and his focus and that bit of mongrel, which Australians always like, that, you know, that sort of hatred of batsmen and desire to do well. He's got absolutely that in spades.
And so he wins our In With Heart award today, not just for his wickets, but the fact that he kept going as well. He bowled a really long spell, I suppose sensing that the end of the test match was coming. And also because, you know, you're desperate for your fifer, aren't you? You want the test fifer, so you will keep going. Anyway, he's our winner of the In With Heart award today, the final one for this test match. What about Overton in Australia as well, Yoz? We mentioned him earlier in the podcast. He's 6 for 61, and, you know, he's catching and runs as well. He did play, of course, in the last test series in Australia. I remember him playing in Adelaide. He just looked, on that tour, he just looked a bit innocuous. But you sensed yesterday, you talked about him just running in a bit with a bit more purpose. And Robinson in Australia, could you see them? I mean, they obviously played together in this test match. Could they play together in Australia, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a bit similar, and I think Robinson's better.
But what about that relentlessness? And what about, you know, just going with that relentless approach?
I think Overton relies a little bit more on swing, movement, whereas Robinson can just keep that channel going, and with that extra bounce he gets, I think he gets a bit more bounce than Overton does. Maybe that's just something to do with his biomechanics. And he just seems to be bowl that awkward length a bit more. I think Overton's a perfectly satisfactory alternative to Robinson. Don't think he's quite as good. He's probably valuable in that he can catch and he can bat. I would definitely... I think they're a little bit too similar, ideally. But he's a very good cricketer and definitely improved from the ashes of... whenever it was, 2017, yeah.
What about India? We focused a lot on England. We did talk about their middle order. For you, Ravi Chandran Ashwin, has he got to play at the Oval? It's interesting listening to Virat Kohli talking about, you know, we like the balance that those four pace bowlers gives us, you know, that sense of relentlessness that actually I was talking about with England. Actually, England didn't quite have it in this game because Sam Curran was a bit off, and Joe Root actually was asked about him in the post-match TV interview, and he sort of gave... you know, fulsome backing to Sam Curran. You know, he's only young, he's very talented, you know, he'll come again. And, you know, he is clearly very talented, but he did allow the pressure to go off. And I think that's what Kohli is concerned about, isn't it? The pressure coming off. But there's a different sort of pressure if you can bring on Ravi Chandran Ashwin to bowl. So, you know, it's a really ticklish one, isn't it, for India? The fact they're leaving out a guy with over 400 test wickets, who's desperate to play. You know, and perhaps, you know, the Oval and Old Trafford might be his pitches.
Well, I think it's blindingly obvious what to do. Ishant Sharma, short of a gallop, looks tired. Give him a rest. Bring Ashwin in. Strengthens the batting and arguably strengthens the bowling. And if England are continue with this side, even if Sam Curran doesn't play, they've still got four left-handers. So I think Ashwin, absolute dead cert for me. It just gives him a bit more balance, a bit more depth, and a bit more variety. And, you know, why wouldn't you play him? He's a fantastic bowler. And he taxes everybody. And he's always thinking how to get a wicket. And there were times in that Root Milan partnership particularly where India looked a bit bereft of ideas. Ashwin would have been on it there. He would have been wheeling away, trying to... you know, tease a wicket from somewhere, and I don't think Jadeja's quite as clever a bowler. So, you know, those two in tandem on a fourth day oval pitch, you can imagine being really quite a big handful.
Yeah, and the weather in London, just to report that for people who are not in the southeast of the UK, is that it has been dry in London for, you know, a good week or so now. And the forecast is for it to be dry for the next week as well. So early September, yes, but... there's also the prospect, you know, for the groundsman to have, you know, really prepare exactly the pitch that he wants. But also, I wonder whether, you know, with dry weather around, it's not been baking hot. That's the one thing. But with dry weather around, whether the ball might spin at the Oval.
But even if it doesn't, Ashwin has the benefit of DRS, which is a huge advantage to all spin bowlers, and you know, even with a hint of turn against, especially against left-handers, he's always going to be a handful. So look at the influence he had on that World Test Championship final. You know, he still managed to tweak wickets on a green top, mainly a green top, at the Aegeus Bowl, and got those two wickets, put the flutters under the wobbles under New Zealand in that last day run chase. You know, he's just an unbelievably clever bowler. I'm sure he'll play, and if he doesn't, the India are mad. Yeah.
And perhaps one or two question marks, one or two doubts among the Indian batters. It's something we've talked about, you know, the idea of, you know, coming to England and dealing with English conditions, and they didn't deal with them particularly well last time or the time before, and it was going so well for them, or quite well for them, and then suddenly, you know, they've had the rug pulled from underneath them in this test match, haven't they? You know, 78 all out, okay, a bit of fight yesterday, but then what do they lose today? 63 for 8 today.
I don't think there's any shame for India. They are up against, you know, with Anderson, they're up against, and Joe Root called him this, didn't he, after play today, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. He is the greatest fast bowler of all time. And, you know, it's like coming to Australia and having to face Shane Warne all the time. There are going to be days when he doesn't perform, but he's always a threat. And I don't think, you know, I don't really blame any of the Indian batsmen today. The bowling was so good and they threatened all the time. And provided you're backed up by good fielding, as in the slips, you know, there's really no escape.
Yeah. And the other thing as well, I mean, going to the Oval, I mean, that is normally a pretty good batting wicket, isn't it? If you're going to score
Anderson's
runs,
Anderson's got a poor record there, actually.
Yeah,
that's his worst score ground.
If you're going to score runs anywhere in England, the Oval is probably the place to do it. So that, you know, there is that sort of lift Indian batting spirits, I would say. The fact that England were able to finish it off quickly today is a bit of a boost because, you know, it's tight now, isn't it, the schedule? The next test match is next Thursday, so it's very useful, I suppose, for them just to retain a bit of energy, finish it off before lunch on the fourth day, give themselves an extra day and a half's preparation time for the Oval, recovery time. But we can't wait. We can't wait for the Oval already. I mean, the game's just finished, but we can't wait. And this absolutely fascinating series between these two sluggers is going to go right to the end. I'm not going to predict it from here. I mean, I did say 2-1 to India at the start. I'm beginning to waver, but they could easily, you know, what could happen from here? India could win the next game and it rains at Old Trafford, but, you know, equally England could win 3-1. I mean, it's been a really interesting series so far. Lots to get our teeth into, and we'll be with you again, next Thursday, Oz.
Yeah, we will. We're looking forward to it.
Right, that's it for this podcast and for this match. Hope you've enjoyed it. Hope you've enjoyed listening to us. Goodbye for now.
Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.